Welcome to Tarat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esti Kimchi, and today we will be studying Sefer Yeshua Perek Ches. A quick recap of what we learned in the previous Perek. Yehoshua had attempted to conquer Ai with just a very small group of men, and it went disastrously wrong. Klal Yisrael is defeated, and Yehoshua thinks his special protection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gone, but Hashem tells him no, it was due to the sins of one individual. Using the Choshen, they discover who he is, and they take him out and stone him, and they destroy all the stolen goods. And in Perek Ches, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's time to try again. But as a result of what's happened, Yehoshua is pretty apprehensive to return to Ai, and Hashem assures him, no, I'm going to be with you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, this time you're going to take a lot of people and you're going to lay an ambush. And we're told a very detailed battle plan in the Perek of how they approach and conquer the city, and how Bnei Israel are successful. And not only do they conquer Ai, but they also conquer the surrounding cities. And the Perek ends with the recounting of the Brachos and Klalos ceremony that take place on Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Pasuk Aleph, Vayomar Hashem al Yehoshua. Hashem says to Yehoshua, Al tira, do not be afraid, Va'al techas, do not be dismayed, Kach imcha, es kol am hamelchama. Get up and take a large battalion of people with you. Take all the people out into battle. Akum, get up, arise, alei ha'ai, go to Ai, re'ei nasati biyadcha, I see I've placed into your hand as melech ha'ai, the king of Ai, the Esamo, and its people, the Esiro, the entire city, the Es Arzo, and its entire land. In ancient times, what would happen is there would be a city, a larger city, and all the surrounding smaller cities and villages and hamlets would be controlled by this larger city. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here telling Yehoshua, not only are you going to conquer Ai this time, but actually you're going to be able to take control of all the land that surrounds it. The Me'am Lois tells us that after the sin in the previous Perek, Yehoshua is very nervous and he didn't have any nevuah, but now his nevuah has returned to him. Yehoshua then is told that he should do to Ai exactly what had been done when they captured Jericho. They should destroy the entire city, but this time they should take all of the spoils. Rak shlala uvehemta tavozu lachem. This time you should take all the spoils for yourself. And Rashi says this is what's going to happen from going forward. Every time they conquer a city, they should plunder it and they should be able to take all of the spoils. And now it seems very strange, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Yehoshua a battle tactic and says to him, Simlecha oriv la'ir me'achareha. Set an ambush for the city behind it. Rabbi Beinu Bachai tells us that now, from now onwards, all the battles that are going to be fought are going to be much more natural looking battles. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would most definitely be there with them, compensating and, you know, helping Bnei Israel, but they have to make it look like they are fighting much more natural battles. And the Ashur HaMetzudas explains that here Hashem tells them to take an enormous army. And really, this was done as a trick for the Canaanites. They're going to think, the Canaanites will now think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer with Am Yisrael. Look, they have to bring an enormous army to fight. And this will encourage the Canaanites to bring along enormous armies from all the surrounding cities. And when Bnei Yisrael will win out in the battles, they'll have saved themselves a lot of bother, because they'll have actually, in one battle, managed to conquer and destroy a whole bunch of cities. So the plan is going to be to send out an ambush. And the next Pesukim tell us how Yehoshua tells them and starts preparing for 2 days before the battle. He chooses 30,000 men and sends them out at night. And he tells them, don't go too far away from the city, but instead of going in front of Ai, they should lie in wait behind the city of Ai. And Yehoshua says, "Va'ani v'chala amasheiti," and I'm going to take a separate group of people, and we're going to come towards the city, approaching it from the front. And we're going to make it look like we are conquering, attempting to conquer the city again. And this will draw all the inhabitants of the city of Ai out. They'll start chasing after us. And then when I give a sign, the people that are ambushing the city, that are camped behind, they should start running into the city. And there'll be no one there to protect the city. They'll have an opportunity to burn down the entire city. Pasuk Zayin, Va'atem takumi miha'oriv, you shall rise up from the ambush, v'harashtem esa'i, you should conquer the city, and asana Hashem elokeichem b'yetchem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have given the entire city over into your hands. And we're given a bit of a geographical location as to exactly where everyone is going to be situated. And in Pasuk Tes, v'yishlachem Yehoshua, Yehoshua sends them on their way, and that night, v'yolen Yehoshua balayla hahu b'tocha'am, Yehoshua goes to sleep that night amongst the people. He's with them, giving them confidence and showing them that he is going to come out into the battle. The next morning, Vayashkem Yoshua Baboker, Yoshua gets up early in the morning, Vayifkod Asa'am, he counts the people. This is a strategy that's always done before battle, preparing themselves, counting out the numbers of people that they're going to have. And then in Pasuk Yud Beis, we're told Vayikach Kachameshes Alofim Ish. He takes another 5,000 men, Vayasam Osam Ori Bain Beis El or Vein Ha'ai Miyam La'ir. He places them also as an ambush between Beis El and Ai on the western side of Ai. And the Malbim explains over here that he took another 5,000 and he puts them as another ambush, slightly west, sort of creating a second flank. And then again, the next night, Vayasimo Am Eskola Machaneh. Everybody is stationed and settled in their places. And again, that night, Yehoshua goes besocha emek, he goes to sleep. And over here, besocha emek, he goes to sleep in the valley. Now, ha'emek over here could just be a description of the place. An emek is a valley, but actually the word emek has another meaning. The word emek means depth. And the Gemara in Megillah Daf Gimel tells us, Melamed shalon ba'umka shel halacha, that that night he involved himself in deep Torah learning. And really this is the way that we know Klal Yisrael prepares best for battle. We, you know, can all picture the images of the soldiers from the last couple of years. Many of them, you know, those pictures of soldiers holding Gemaras, making siyumim in Gaza between battles. And we learn this from Yehoshua, that the best way to prepare for a battle the night before is we don't go to sleep. And in every spare minute, Am Yisrael sits and learns Torah. In Pasuk Yudalid, the battle begins. And the king of Ai sees what's happening. He sees that the Jews are coming towards him, and he doesn't know that there's an entire ambush waiting behind. And what he does then is he starts chasing after the Yehoshua and his people. And Yehoshua starts running and running as if he's fleeing from this army. And he's drawing them further and further away from the city. And the people of the city are running after them. And they're screaming as they're going. And at that moment, Velo Nishar Ish Ba'ai or Beis El. And there is not one person left in the whole of Ai and also in Beis El. Why? Because they are all now chasing after Am Yisrael. Vayazvu Es Ha'ir Pesucha. And they leave the entire city open. Vayirdefu Acharei Yisrael. And they're chasing after Klal Yisrael. And then Yehoshua lifts up his spear like a flag. And Hashem says, I've given into your hand the city of Ai. And the people who have been ambushed behind take this as a sign and they start running towards Ai, the empty city, and they come into Ai and they start destroying Ai and they set it to fire. Now the soldiers of Ai hear screaming come from the city and they don't know what's going on. In their mind, they're chasing the enemy. So who could be in their city plundering and setting fire to it? They turn around and all of a sudden they see that the enemy is behind them. And now they're sort of not sure what to do. Which direction do they run? And Pasuk Kaf Beis tells us, Vayuli Yisrael batavech elamizeh ve'elamizeh. They're completely trapped. Wherever they look, there's Jews on this side, there's Jews on that side. Vayaku osam ad bilti hishir lo sarid upalit. And Bnei Yisrael is able to completely destroy and wipe out the entire city of Ai and all the soldiers from the surrounding cities who've come out. Not one person remains. Except, Pasuk Gaf Gimel tells us, Ve'es melech ha'ai tothsu chai. They allowed the king of Ai to remain alive. They take him alive. Vayakruvo osel Yoshua, and they bring him to Yoshua. And we're told that 12,000 people are killed in that battle. They take the king of Ai and they hang him and they take down his body that night and they bury him. Yoshua turns the entire city of Ai into a heap of stones, and they put a heap of stones over the city after they've taken the spoils from it. And Yoshua also takes the body of the king and he places him at the entrance and covers him with a heap of stones. The parak is going to now continue with a story that takes place at Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Now, this story is described, the ceremony is described in Sefer Dvarim Parak Kaf Zayin. Rashi tells us that this story that's going to be described now actually had taken place earlier, and it had taken place on that first day that they'd come into Eretz Yisrael, that long miraculous day where Am Yisrael had both crossed the Yarden, set up stones in Gilgal, traveled to Har Gerizim and Har Eval, and then traveled back to Gilgal. Other Mefarshim say, nope, it was much too much to have had to happen on one day, and this ceremony does take place now. The Malbim actually finds a way of combining both ideas. And he says, if you look carefully, the Pesukim and Devarim, really there were two separate commandments. One, Yoshua was being told that on the day you arrive, you should make a monument, and that's what he does. And two, he's told that you should also do the ceremony and write the Sefer Torah, write the Torah on the stones and do the ceremony at Har Gerizim and Har Eval. And now this is when Yehoshua is doing part two. And Pasuk Lamed tells us, "As Yivne Yoshua Mizbeach LaHashem Elokei Yisrael b'Har Eval," and Yoshua builds a mizbeach for Hakadosh Baruch on Har Eval. There is an archaeologist; his name was Adam Zertal, and in the 1980s, he claims to have found this mizbeach on Har Eval. And the truth is, there were things that did date to that era. Pasuk Lamed Beis tells us, "Vayichtav Sham Al Ha'avanim Es Mishne Toras Moshe." They write on these stones Toras Moshe, Asher Kosav Lifnei B'nei Yisrael, which he had written before B'nei Yisrael. And there are different opinions in Chazal as to exactly what was written on these stones. The entire Torah seems like a lot to write on these stones. The stones were massive, but it does seem like a lot to write the entire Torah on the stones. But the Ramban says this is exactly what happened. Rav Sadia Gaon in the Radak says, no, they just wrote out the 630 mitzvahs on the stones. And Mitzuda says they wrote Sefer Devarim on the stones. Now, a bit of geography as to exactly where Gerizim and Har Eval, where this is all taking place. So Har Gerizim and Har Eval are two mountains that sit on either side of the city of Shechem. Shechem's always been a bit of a sore point in Jewish history. We know that this is where the story of Dinah takes place and Shimon and Levi destroy the city of Shechem. It's where the sale of Yosef take place. And in the future, in the time of Yeravam ben Nevat, this is where the kingdom is split from. So on the one hand, Shechem is quite a weak spot in Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, it's also a place of amazing hope. It's a very, very special place. It's the first place we know that Avraham Avinu comes to when he enters into the land, he builds a mizbeach, and he calls out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu there. And Chazal say that the word Shechem stands for Shem Kvod Malchuso, a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is covered and Malchus is. So again, on the one hand, possible, you know, negative, but on the other hand, a place where there's an opportunity for tremendous, tremendous covered shamayim. And we have over here the story of the brachos and klalos. And it's interesting, Har Gerizim is the Har of brachos, Har Eval is the Har of klalos. And even today, if you look at these two mountains, Har Gerizim is this beautiful, lush mountain, and Har Eval remains a barren, empty mountain. Rav Hash has a beautiful message about this whole story. And he says, in the middle we have the Aron, the Kohanim, and the Levim. And they're sharing brachos. And two people can receive the same bracha. And it really just depends what the person does with the bracha. If you choose to actualize, if you choose to make good of the bracha, then you'll grow. But if you choose to ignore the bracha and you don't, you know, make good of all the gifts and all the things that you've been gifted with, then nothing grows and nothing happens. The perek ends in Pasuk Lamed Hey. We're told Lo haya davar mikol asher tziva Moshe asher lo kara Yehoshua. There was nothing that Moshe had commanded Yehoshua that Yehoshua did not read out and did not fulfill. Thank you for learning this parak together with me. Sefer Yehoshua is dedicated by Nina and Chaim Schenker in memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Schenker, Rachel Freeman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer, Elena Shana, and Ashot Chayil, who lived with the utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they faced living in the United States, Israel, or Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the family of Klal Yisrael. I wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful day.